All right, are we ready to start? All right, we've got a thumbs up over there from Mackenzie. Welcome to Planning Commission. Thank you for being here. We are glad to see public and applicants here joining us. We will open public comments right now. If anyone has a comment or wants to say something that isn't on the agenda already, now is the time to do that. Lee.
Yes, that's on. Dee Lalas. After our annexation situation and all the comments that were made on it, I decided that there was something that was not mentioned in any of the comments anywhere, and that is the unincorporated area wanted to be annexed into Bountiful because they were going to save money. So I went home, and I have access to the tax bills for my sister and my daughter-in-law's mother, and so I asked them for a copy of their tax statements from the county. Everything is identical except for North Salt Lake, Bountiful City, and Special Service Area. The difference between the, if they had said, well, gee, we're going to save a lot of money by going into Bountiful, and I don't know about some of the other utilities and things that are not part of the Davis County, and so it would have a different amount. But the difference between being in the special service, and this is for a $500,000 house, is $171.21 for the special area, $247.90 in Bountiful, and $280.45 for North Salt Lake. So they saved, rather than the $70 that they were claiming if they went into Bountiful rather than North Salt Lake, it wasn't that, it's $13. And that doesn't include garbage pickup and some of the other things that North Salt Lake, I understand there is a reduction in some of those services by going into North Salt Lake rather than being in the county or even in Bountiful. So just for putting the record straight, if anybody wants information, I'll give you the sheet and you can copy it.
Thank you,
Dee. I sent that to Stan Porter, so I think the city council may have that information already.
We appreciate you and all your dedication to the city. You are a great champion for North Salt Lake, and we appreciate all the engagement that you give to all the different commissions and councils. Thank you. Okay, anybody else for public comments? All right, we will close the public comments, and then we have Karen Baxter with us, the city engineer. He's just going to take a minute to introduce herself to us. Thank you for being here.
I just thought I'd come say hello. I haven't come to Planning Commission before. I've worked for the city for 15 years and thought it was about time I introduced myself. So anyway, your planners are amazing. We have the best in the world. But I just thought it would be a good opportunity to let you know that if you ever have questions, concerns, if there's anything that I can do to help support you and in the important work you do, let me know. I'm happy to come and discuss things and help in any way that you need me to.
And now when I say the city engineer says, you have a face. She exists.
So thank you, Karen. Thank you for being here.
I appreciate it, and it's nice to just take a second and say hello.
Yeah, we're glad to put a face with that name. And if there's ever anything that we can do as far as input or things like that that help you, always feel free to let us know and pass that along. We want to be a smooth working team, and we appreciate all the work that the staff does and the planners and you as an engineer. So thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Okay, we will move to agenda item 3, public hearing consideration of a plat amendment to combine two lots, adjust property lines, and vacate a public utility easement in Eaglewood Cove subdivision. And do we have our applicant here? Is it Mr. Coob?
Yes. And the other property owner is also here, Paul Campbell. Paul?
Okay. Paul Campbell.
I said it with such confidence, and then I was like, it might be Peter.
Okay, thank you for being here. All right, Mackenzie.
All right, guys, so this is a public hearing for a plat amendment. The reason it's a public hearing is because we will be vacating a public utility easement and relocating it to a different property line. Mr. Campbell has owned lot 106R and recently purchased 105R. Mr. Coob owns lot 104. So lot 106 currently has a single family dwelling on it. Lot 105 is currently vacant, and lot 104 has another single family home. The intent of this plat amendment is for lots 105 and 106 to be combined. And in doing so, there is a 14-foot wide public utility easement that runs along the existing property line. That is currently not being utilized, so we are recommending that it is vacated. But the city does own the property to the side of this, and so we do anticipate needing to access through that area at some point, which is why we have relocated the public utility easement to where it's drawn on the plat. It'll be going along the side of the new property line and not going at all into lot 104. The property owner, thank you, Sherry. The property owner of lot 104 has purchased some of the property from lot 106 so that they can expand their garage. And that is shown in the little jag you can see. It's not a straight property line. The plat amendment is compliant with the R112 zone as far as frontage, width, and minimum acres. And the DRC is recommending approval of this plat amendment to combine the two lots, adjust property lines, and vacate the public utility easement on lots 104, 105R, and 106R of the Eaglewood Cove subdivision phase one, with the one condition of correction of engineering and planner red lines. They're very minimal at this point. It's just adding like R's to their lots so that they hold the restricted status for the sensitive lands overlay requiring the geotechnical reports for building on that property. Does anyone have any questions?
Thank you. Okay. Do either of you want to add anything at this point, or Mackenzie does a pretty good job doing the overview for us. All right, thank you. All right, we will go ahead and open the public hearing now for anybody that wants to make a comment on this. Going once, going twice, no comments. So we will close the public hearing and we will move to the commission discussion about this application. If anybody has any comments. And when we're ready, we can move to a motion.
Commissioner Jorgensen, I'm prepared to offer a motion. I move that the Planning Commission recommend to the City Council approval of the plat amendment combining two lots, adjusting property lines, and vacating a public utility easement on lots 104, 105R, and 106R of the Eaglewood Cove subdivision phase one located at 644, 650, and 647 South Mountain View Circle with the following conditions, corrections of engineering and planner red lines.
Thank you, Commissioner Jorgensen. Do we have a second?
Commissioner Holbrook, second.
Thank you. Any comment or discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? And the motion passes. All right. Thank you for being here. Good luck with your projects. Okay, we will move to agenda item number 4, consideration of a conditional use permit for a 37-foot driveway located at 951 South Winter Lane. Braden Hansen, is he with us tonight?
He was going to join via Zoom, but when I last checked, he wasn't on. Sherry, can you look into that? Still not on? Okay, so no, he is not
okay,
in attendance.
We will just move forward, and we have Mackenzie. Thank you.
All righty, guys. Conditional use permit for a 37-foot driveway in the Ridge subdivision at 951 South Winter Lane. As a reminder, city code permits at least one access driveway on every lot, and that driveway cannot be larger than 30 feet wide unless modified by a conditional use permit, in which case they can go up to 40 feet. So that is why they are here today. They are requesting 37 feet in the Ridge subdivision. They're governed by a development agreement because it is a P district zone. And that development agreement does require that any single family lot with less than 70 feet of frontage at the property line have a maximum driveway of 20 feet wide. But this specific property has 80 feet of right of way So the 37 feet is acceptable to the development agreement. Sage Valley Construction is the applicant who submitted the building permit to construct a new single-family home on the vacant lot. And the proposed driveway will be, let me pull up the site plan. Proposed driveway will be approximately 10 feet away from the northernmost property line, or the closest property line. City code requires that it be a minimum of 3 feet away from said property line, so they're compliant there. And then the other thing that we've run into in the Ridge every time we've come to you for expanding a drive up or a driveway is the water meters positioning on the lots, because they were strategically placed in the center. This specific lot is not going to have any problems because the water meter, according to our public works director, is a total of 52 feet, 3 inches away from the northernmost property line. So this meter is going to be about 4 to 5 feet away from the driveway. And that's really important because Winter Lane has a moratorium on it where no one can dig into it from 5 years after installation, which was last year. So we can't relocate that water meter. All that said, the Development Review Committee recommends approval of this conditional use permit. Why did it stop? Okay, conditional use permit. With the condition that the proposed driveway may not cross over or interfere with the existing water meter on the lot. We just, even though that's not the plan and it's shown on the site plan that we're approving tonight, we just want to be very clear and to the point that it really can't happen. So I'm happy to answer any questions.
So just out of curiosity, that moratorium on the cutting the road, does that include like the Google fiber that goes between the pavement and the curb and gutter?
Yeah, no one can cut into that road for 5 years. So yes.
Any other comments or questions? If not, we can move to the motion.
Is there some kind of verification after the fact of, I'm just curious.
Of the placement?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. As a homeowner myself, I could see easily
getting the approval,
getting concrete all the way around that water main. Yeah. I'm just curious if there's.
Yeah, so with new building permits, they are not required to pull an excavation permit on in addition to that, because we already have the concrete along the right-of-way bonded. As part of their building permit fees, which is probably more information than you guys care to know. But part of the approval process is in order to get that bond released, they have to do a drive approach inspection. Specifically in the Ridge, all of those sidewalks are 4 inches depth with 4 inches of road base, and our engineering standard requires 6 inches cement, 6 inches road base, where adjacent to a drive approach, to handle the weight from the vehicles. And so in the Ridge, they are having to rip out the sidewalk where the drive approach is going, form it up to be prepared for concrete, and call our public works or our engineering intern out to inspect it and make sure it is prepped, in fact, with 6 inches of road base and then the space for the concrete. If they don't do that, we don't release their bond. So it's part of getting their money back. So we do have some assurance that at least with new builds like this, it will be done the way it needs to. If we go out there and they've prepped it around that water meter, they're gonna get flagged.
I'll make a motion. I move that the Planning Commission approve the conditional use permit for a 37-foot wide driveway at 951 South Winter Lane with the condition that the proposed driveway may not cross over or interfere with the existing water meter on the lot.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Ward. Do we have a second?
I'll second, Commissioner Moss.
Thank you. Any comment or discussion on the motion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes. All right. Okay, item number 5, consideration of a plat amendment to Eaglewood Cove Subdivision Phase 13, located approximately 1375 East through 1525 East Wood Oaks Loop. We have Mr. Cannon with us tonight. Thank you for being here. And Sherry.
Okay, so this is a plat amendment for Eaglewood Cove 13. You'll recall that you saw this about a year ago. April 6th of 2021 was when the final plat was approved. So most of the infrastructure is in. There was on your opening screen today on this slideshow had a nice picture of the infrastructure. Did you put it in here? Oh, clear at the end? Yeah. I just wanted to show you because these pictures were awesome taken with the drone. So there's the new road is all in. Anyway, what they are doing, and I'm going to jump all the way back through all those pictures now to this particular development. So phase 13 is the red section, and outside of this area is property that's owned by MRF, which is a relative of the Cannon family?
Yes, ma'am.
That's a good way to put it, I guess. I don't know what the exact relationship is, but it's not important. Anyway, they have entered into an agreement with Eaglewood Cove LLC to sell them the rest of the property, and it is in the area. You can see it on this map. This is our slope analysis map, and the red line is the original boundary line of phase 13. So the hillside above those lots, 1310 through 1316, are going to be platted as part of this amended plat as hillside parcels, and they have limited uses allowed on them. So we have put into the notes some specific things. I'll just forward it here so that you can see that. So these hillside parcels, first off, have to be sold in conjunction with the lot that they're adjacent to. So if it's lot 1310 and then it's parcel 1310 HP is what we're calling it. And then those parcels are restricted in use. They are not a building lot. We've very strategically called them a parcel and not a building lot. They have to be sold in conjunction with the adjacent lot and owned in conjunction. They can't be sold separately to a third-party individual who doesn't own an adjacent lot. Now, those individuals could come back, like if you had lot number 1310 and 1311, they're right next to each other, and they wanted to do a lot line adjustment between the two hillside parcels. They could come in and do that as part of a plat amendment, but they can't just sell it to somebody third-party outside to come in. It has to get direct access through the adjacent lot with the same number. And so some of the uses, some of the restrictions that we're putting on that is that first, that they can only be permitted access through the adjacent lot. The entire hillside parcel is designated as a critical slope easement. In order to obtain any building permit for any accessory structure. So like if someone wanted to build a trail up to the top and then they wanted to put in a little fire pit and a gazebo or something along those lines, that they would have to come in and have the critical slope easement removed from that area by demonstrating with a topographical survey that the area in question is less than 30% slope. They can't grade the parcel to get it to be less than 30% slope because those slope map is somewhat of a generalization. Everything that's green is over 30% slope. So as you can see on those hillside parcels, there's very few areas that are actually white and under the 30% slope. But there is a few areas, and these are really big lots. Okay, so when you're looking at them, the scale is that the like lot 1310, how many acres is that one?
17.
That's 17 acres. So when you're looking at this, don't think these are quarter acre lots. These are actually very big estate parcels. But anyway, they'll have to come in and prove to the city engineer that the slope is less than 30%, that they can develop and build that accessory structure without disturbing the vegetation, without doing unnecessary cuts and fills. They can't build a road to it to take in heavy equipment. They can't have electricity or water or plumbing to it. They can have solar panels for interior use, but not for outdoor lighting. The let's see, what are the other conditions? I want to turn that. And then we list the permitted uses that would be able to be used in the hillside parcel would be like picnic areas, trails, gardens. And we spoke before about the couple that wants to build a ski or a sledding run or other outdoor sports courts. So those are definitely the only kind of uses we want to allow is recreational uses. So aside from that, that is the request for this plat amendment. We have reviewed the plat. In the packet here, you have the plat that I sent to you that had a couple of red lines. Those have been corrected. The city engineer did her final review of the amendments and corrections we received from the developer's engineer. She only found two small typos. There was a word that spelled wrong, and instead of meet, it says met, and so it needs to be another E added. And the other one was, it calls out the that public utility easements are 10.00 feet, except on the front property line, and 7 feet on the side property lines. And she's concerned that they're not technically the same. When you ask for a 10.00, you're implying accuracy to 1/100th of a foot, when the other one is just plain 7. So she just wants them to be consistent, either 10 and 7 or 10.00 and 7.00. So a minor correction that can be taken care of before we print the final plat for recordation. And with that, the DRC has reviewed it, and we are recommending the approval of subdivision phase 13 amended to include these hillside parcels.
Great, thank you. Sherry. Mr. Cannon, did you want to add anything at this time?
I would be happy to respond to any questions you have.
Okay, great.
Sherry covered it all.
She does a pretty good job. Thank you for being here. Okay, any questions or comment from the commission?
Yeah, just pure curiosity, but why? What's the value of this land associated with the property?
The way you phrased your question generates part of my answer. The value is there are people who like to have a lot of open space. And so the idea of, it might be an ego thing, but to be able to say I have a 5-acre lot instead of I have an acre and a half lot has value to some people. The other side of that is that MRF had ideas of things they might like to do with this property. They finally decided that those weren't going to come to fruition, and they would be stuck with it in perpetuity at an annual tax burden from the county. So that's why it wasn't done earlier. They came to the conclusion that their best interest was served by dividing it up and adding it to these other lots. And that's the reason that this for the amendment to change it is it was just they determined that that was their best use of the property at this point.
That makes a lot of sense. Thank
we
you.
Actually met with a potential property owner up there today, and her exact words were, my husband wants country living, and they're just moving from Rosewood up to there. So that's their intent.
Well, it's definitely going to ensure the privacy. There's a lot of value there, definitely.
It's certainly a nice area. I did have a couple questions, and between the two of you, I'm sure you can answer them. One of them goes to, I think ultimately that's going to be, the urban wildland interface. We've got oak brush and grass and things like that. The way I read the notes, there's the note on the hillside parcels and the restrictions on that. Part of it was just the maintaining the native vegetation. But how would the city handle something if, for example, a fire consultant came in and said, hey, you need to have, and I'm just making up a number, 200-foot buffer, and you need to get rid of, this high-fuel oak brush, and you need to plant buffalo grass. I'm making this stuff up, but how would you handle that type of situation?
Sounds like one for you.
So the thing that I would point out to them is that as far as where the building envelope is on the building lots, those are huge. Can you zoom in? Will that let you zoom in on those lots, like on 13, 10, and 11, just to show how big the building envelope is? So when you look at, like, say, 1311, it's a 1.87-acre lot, and that building envelope is, I believe, about 30,000 square feet. So I think that they would meet any standard within the area that's in the building envelope that they can disturb. I'm not overly concerned about them needing to clear the urban wildland interface for
So is it safe to assume that the intent of the restrictions on the hillside parcels would be not to allow brush clearing and things like that? Is that fair?
Because we don't want the property scrubbed of the vegetation that keeps the soil stable. I mean, we don't want to have erosion problems if they rip out all the oak brush on the property.
Yeah, fair enough. I just wanted to understand that. And then the second one goes to specifically the mention of permitted uses in the ski or sledding runs. And there's a couple notes in 14E which seem to contradict each other. I don't know. Can we just clarify what the intent is? Can you pull up the one that actually shows the notes and maybe enlarge it so everybody can see it?
14E?
14, yeah. Like, so if you all can read 14E2, it says any accessory structure will be located upon a hillside parcel only. For purposes of this restriction, accessory structures shall not include mechanical equipment, cabinets, or systems necessary for operation of permitted private recreational uses such as ski or sledding, tow rope, motors, and pulleys. So that would suggest no. But then you come down to 6, section subparagraph 6, it talks about land use such as private ski or sledding runs which require the use of motorized tow ropes and connection to power may only be permitted, and then there's some conditions about noise and so forth.
So they seem
to be at odds with each other. I didn't understand that.
So the intent was, we said that you could have one accessory structure, but if you just had a cabinet that was for the tow rope motor, that would not be your one accessory structure. It would be, that would not be counted. That was the intent on that. It's just part of a land use that's allowed for a recreational use. That was the only one we could think of that would have a scenario like that. And we did bat back and forth many different ideas of what we would allow and not allow.
And apologies for not seeing it. Is this hillside slope area elevated above the building area or down in a gully?
Above.
Okay.
Technically both. It finishes off in the gully. Yeah.
There's a little gully on some of them, and then you go back up. But the ones in phase 14 are definitely above.
Yes. There's a particular location where a purchaser has expressed that interest, and it would actually be on the Kern River pipeline where it's cleared of oak brush. So it's an open run. And wouldn't require any removal of foliage, natural vegetation.
It looks scary to me, but.
And I'm sorry, for instance, on the picture we're looking at, lot 1313, would they also be able to purchase the hillside portion of 1312 because they're adjacent?
They could, but they would have to do it by coming in and getting a plat amendment. So that we would renumber the lot, so that it wouldn't be they have 1312 and 1313 HP. They would be combined into 1313 HP-A for amended, and that way the access would only still be through 1313.
Understood.
I have a quick question. So the permitted uses, namely, I guess, the ski runs and the sports courts, is there, because those are going to be permitted, does that mean like grading and vegetation removal will all be permitted without having to?
They have to demonstrate that they can construct whatever it is they're proposing without bringing in large heavy equipment and cutting in pads and roads to get up there to do that. So if they can build the sports court some other way, they have lots of money. Helicopters, I don't know.
So even the permitted uses have to?
Yes.
Okay, I comply with that.
So we will look at those very, very carefully.
Do we have a clear delineation in our code, the difference between accessory structures and units, accessory units?
Yes. Okay. Dwelling units, yes. Dwelling accessory dwelling units are definitely not permitted.
Okay. Well, so, but there is like a clear, it's not going to be like, this is a shed that I, I'm going to call an accessory unit and it turns into the pool house.
Yes. It can't, because it can't have water, they can't have water service to it or electrical.
Thank you.
To clarify, they can have ADUs or accessory dwelling units in the building envelope.
In the building envelope, just of the
outside,
building lot.
They can't. Yes.
Not on the hillside parcel.
Just wanted to clarify, they can have ADUs in certain situations.
So the scenario that we were thinking about was if they wanted to plant a garden up there, they could have a garden shed to store their tools in. Or if they wanted to do, you know, this is really what we see mostly in the hillside up here, is that people who have up the hillside, they'll build a little trail up to it. They'll put a little family gathering area, a little pavilion, and a fire pit and seating areas, things like that, that if they needed and wanted an accessory structure for that particular use, that's really what this is intended for. And that's how we think it will be used. I'm sure somebody will come up with something incredibly imaginative that I haven't thought of yet, and I'll go, wow. That was one of the ones that I went, wow. But you can kind of see on the topography where the pipeline is, that it comes up there on 1312, where the topography kind of comes white and goes up. It's really steep, so it's still steep, but it's... a little bit to the right there, kind of that area. I think that's the looks like to me that's where the pipeline is. I think
You've got dotted lines that show the easement for the pipeline,
just not on this
plaque. It's not on that map.
Not on that one. Yeah, there they are on that one.
So Sherry, is the hillside parcel a construct of the plat only, as opposed to actually being something that's defined in the code?
It is a construct of the plat only.
Okay, so that's the same. That's the same thing. I'm not just comparing it to like a scenic easement. There are subdivisions in North Salt Lake that have scenic easements. They're more restrictive than this.
Yes.
The scenic easements are, because it's basically build nothing.
Yes.
But it's all strictly a construct of the plat.
Yeah, and the. At the agreement of the developer, that's what they are proposing, and proposing to self-implement those restrictions on the plat that will be existing in perpetuity, unless they came in and made some case and got the city council to amend the plat.
I would make this observation, though. So those restrictions that get hidden in the plat, because we've had this discussion before, like scenic easements, because people go ahead and start doing whatever they want, and then it's unenforceable by the city. So that's an interesting thing.
Well, we do have, I mean, we have a case of someone who pushed over the top of the hillside into the oak brush, into the scenic easement, and then cut in a pad when we told them you couldn't do that to get scoop the dirt back up. We're like,
I'm familiar with that.
But it is a code violation, and they are having to.
That one's in my neighborhood, and that one happened to be right by the road, but the ones that are not visible from the road.
They're harder to catch.
Well, I'm not saying that it happened, but maybe it did.
But neighbors tend to rat out other neighbors pretty quickly.
I don't have a specific concern. I was just trying to understand whether there was anything that was in the code or not.
Sure thing. We went back and forth on this, on how to do it. We'd come a long way thinking that we'd talk to the county recorder's office, and they said, why don't you just do a recreational plat, and you'll just won't give them any rights to it. And so we started that way, and then we went and talked to them. We went and showed them what we were proposing to bring forward the Planning Commission, City Council, and she's like, she took it to the head county recorder, and he's like, you can't do that. State law, you won't have any access to them. You've got to have them in the same plat. And we're like, you're the one that gave us the idea to do that. So we've been working on this a long time, haven't we? About a year now. Before you guys ever even seen it. We're doing all this background stuff. And I did want to note too on the plat, we have reorganized the plat notes from what you've seen previously, just so that they're more, so they're better organized. Like there were different requirements in like four different notes in four different places about the things that needed to be submitted when they apply for a building permit. So I just consolidated those all into one note. And then we added the hillside note. We cleaned up some of the language on the critical slope easement and made it really clear what could and couldn't be done. And at this point, it'll be the responsibility of the seller to inform the buyers of all of those restrictions. But they'll be informed when they come in to apply for a permit too with McKenzie. So we're pretty good at checking the plats to make sure that any conditions that are listed on plats before we issue any building permits are met, even if they didn't see it.
Great. Any other questions? We can move to a motion.
Yeah, I'm good with this, Chair. I'd like to make a motion. I'll move that the Planning Commission recommend to the City Council the approval of the proposed Eaglewood Cove subdivision phase 13 amended, located at approximately 1375 East to 1525 East Wood Oaks Loop, subject to the following findings and conditions. Finding one, that the proposed amendment plat meets the minimum standards of the land use code for plat approval. Finding two, the additional hillside parcels would be governed in accordance with the requirements related to geological hazards in City Code Title 10, Chapter 12. Finding three, that the geotechnical report has been approved by the city consultant and that plat has been designed to meet the specific standards and recommendations contained therein. Finding four, the plat contains the appropriate notes regarding the individual lots and requirements of the geotechnical report. And one condition, that any remaining engineering red line corrections be completed prior to recordation of final plat.
Thank you, Commissioner Tucker. And do we have a second?
I'll second, Commissioner Stone.
Thank you. Any comment or discussion on the motion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Aye. And it passes. All right. We will move to number six, consideration of final plat approval for the Eaglewood Cove subdivision phase 14, 13 lots and two hillside parcels. Sherry.
Okay, so this is the phasing plan again for Eaglewood Cove. The blue area is phase 14. It has, I believe, 13 lots and two hillside parcels. So when we look at this area on the plat, it's actually on two sheets, so you can see that those two lots at the end of the cul-de-sac are the two lots that will have hillside parcels attached to them, so we won't have to come back in and amend this plat. Let me just go through this really quickly. So we have reviewed this code, reviewed this plat for compliance with the code and find that it meets all of the standards. The same notes are attached to this plat regarding the uses on the hillside parcels and the critical slope easements. And then just to give you some details of it, so this phase 14 contains 26.68 acres. The lot sizes range in size from 0.68 acres to 1.5 acres. The DRC has made a favorable recommendation on this approval. We had some red lines at the time of the staff report was written. Namely, they were to add the lot addresses that we assigned to them and a couple of small red line corrections that the engineering had. Those have all been made to date. I don't think there are any additional outstanding red lines from the engineering department at this time, but I'm not 100% sure of that. But I believe they've all been corrected. At least all the planner red lines were corrected, and I believe the engineering ones have been made as well. So with that, I would recommend approval of this.
Thank you, Sherry. Any comments, discussion, or question for staff or the applicant?
So the road for this particular phase has not been built. The road has been built up to the phasing line, maybe just a little bit beyond it, but that will be constructed as part of after this approval is made, just so you're aware of that.
Only out of curiosity, are the two flag lots, do they share a driveway or are they two individual driveways?
There is an easement, a cross easement, that allows them to share a driveway where they can build their own individual driveways. At the moment, we have one individual who wants to buy both those lots.
I see.
So that is yet to be determined, but in the way it looks right now, there'll be just one driveway to a single residence. There is one note that I would like to point out. As we did the geotechnical testing here, there were some test pits dug on the ridge line, the north end of the plat. And in spite of the appearance of all the materials, the tests came back at a lower strength ratio than anticipated. So the original building envelopes were reduced to bring the strength parameters of the soil into acceptable ratios. We are scheduled for January 3rd to have a drilling company come in and drill a couple of test holes and do some additional testing. Our purpose in coming in now with the reduced buildable envelopes is the construction work has no impact on those buildable envelopes. When we get the test results back, if it's favorable as we anticipate, we'll be back asking to amend those buildable envelopes and increase them marginally. It's primarily lot 1408, I believe, that's the most impeded by the reduced line on the buildable envelope. But we anticipate coming back when we get those additional tests, if we get the results we hope for. Otherwise, we'll leave them where they are. As Sherry pointed out earlier, these are big lots with big buildable envelopes. And we just want people to be able to enjoy the view to the maximum so that they could move to the north end of that if they need to.
Thank you.
Thanks for that clarification.
All right, any other comments or discussion? If someone's ready to make a motion, we can move to a motion.
I can make a motion. This is Commissioner Stone. I move that the Planning Commission recommend to the City Council the approval of the proposed final plat for the Eaglewood Cove subdivision phase 14 located at approximately 1355 East through 1455 East Cove Crest Court, subject to the following findings and conditions. First, finding the proposed final plat meets the minimum standards of the Land Use Code for final plat approval. Second, the geotechnical report has been approved by the city consultant and the plat has been designed to meet the specific standards and recommendations contained therein. And the third, the plat contains the appropriate notes regarding the individual lots, hillside parcels, and requirements of the geotechnical report, and condition being any remaining engineering red line corrections be completed prior to recordation of the final plat.
Thank you, Commissioner Stone. And do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Ward. Any discussion or comment? All in favor, aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And it passes. All right, thank you for being here, Mr. Cannon, and we hope to see you again with good results from your testing. Okay, we will
that
move to agenda
is so
item
pretty.
Number seven. It is so pretty. Who took that picture?
Wilford, did you have this picture taken with the drone?
It was taken with a drone.
It's so pretty.
And it was spectacular. Mackenzie and I and Cameron, our building official, went up for a tour to kind of just get
it's
our
gorgeous.
Eyes on the
yeah.
on the lot so we could understand better because we hadn't been up, the three of us hadn't been up on the site.
Cool.
And it really is spectacular.
It is gorgeous.
The views
yeah.
are gorgeous. And I think it's going to be a really great subdivision up there.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
We can't wait to see the beautiful homes that that come in.
All right, and agenda item 7, City Council report.
So the City Council did annex annexation area B. The ordinance does state that it'll be effective date of January 1st, so that is what we are aiming for. The actual effective date may vary. We have to first have our surveyor draw up the annexation map, so it's like a plat, and then we have to have that plat reviewed by the county surveyor to make sure it closes, which we're certain that that won't be a problem. Once that happens, then we turn that map over to the Lieutenant Governor's office to certify the annexation. And once we receive the certificate of annexation certification, then we can record it with the plat at the county recorder's office, and that's the day that the annexation actually is effective. Staff is working to come up with a plan for the residents that are living in that area. We have no intention of changing their addresses. At this time, some of the City Council members wanted us to form a committee to talk about whether or not the addresses will be changed and how and when, but at the earliest they would be changed would be in 2024. At this point, staff's opinion is that they should just stay the addresses they have right now. We can live with it, and if that makes them happy and appeases them, then that's really worth the price of that. So we're making a plan now as to when we'll take over garbage services, when we'll take over the storm drain system. The county has agreed. We did some cammering of their storm drain lines and found some issues with some blockages, and they've agreed to camera all the lines and scour them and get them into working order before the city takes that infrastructure. We also have a few manholes that are in 3800 South that have never been raised above the pavement when it was repaved, and so we're asking them to raise those manholes and put collars on them to our standard. We'll be working on changing the street signs to be North Salt Lake street signs, but with the Bountiful addresses. It's going to be weird, but we're moving forward with that. I think we have a pretty good plan outlined so far. We will give everyone until May 1st to sign up for garbage services so that people who are in contract with garbage providers can get out of those contracts and get refunds. People can sign up as early as they want, but we can't have anybody sign up until we've recorded the annexation with the county recorder's office, because we can't accept any fees or levy any taxes or fees on anyone until that annexation is final. So we're also working on the business licenses and current building permits in the area that need to be taken care of, but we're going to start street sweeping immediately, even though we haven't taken over, just because it will help us in the spring if we get all the leaves off of Sycamore Drive, because there's a lot, and we don't want it clogging up the storm drain system that we're going to be taking ownership of. So that was decided this morning, and we're moving forward with that. I think we're pretty excited to welcome these residents into the city. Most are fairly resigned. There's still a few that are still going to be upset and will never be happy, but we will do our best to make them feel welcome and hopefully ease the transition and make it as painless as we possibly can for them.
Are they sticking with the zoning that we did in that work session?
So the zoning will come back. We have decided that the best course of action, because some of the complaints were that we shouldn't do this during the holidays, so we felt like it would be best to hold a public hearing on the zoning in January, let the holidays get over and people get used to the idea. There isn't anything pressing. This property's all developed, so there's not like anything's going to happen in between January 1 and say February 1 if we get the zoning done in February, by the first meeting in February at the council. So we're planning a public hearing for your second meeting in January.
Great.
So for the non-address change, is that like forever, or you're just saying you don't have to change your address for the next while?
The council has said you don't have to change your address for at least 12 months.
Okay.
And they'll weigh the pros and cons and decide in the next 12 months whether or not it should change or be permanent. My opinion at this time is we should just let them have those addresses.
So then they keep the street, but then do they change to North Salt Lake?
So they will still be the same. They'll use the exact same address. They can say Bountiful on their address and the same zip code.
Because is that what it says now? It says Bountiful. Does it say Bountiful, even though they're not Bountiful?
Right.
Okay.
So they can continue to use
So it doesn't even say what
addresses.
They really are. I mean, you're not writing unincorporated Davis County on your
right, no,
on
they,
your envelope. So, right, okay.
It's the Bountiful zip code that okay. they use. And I was a little concerned about point of sales tax yeah. collection for Amazon, but after I investigated it with the State Tax Commission, quarterly, the State Tax Commission puts out a database where they classify every zip code and the zip plus four. So everybody has a zip code and a plus four. That plus four is then coded for the jurisdiction that the sales tax is remitted to, is assigned to when the sales tax is remitted. So sophisticated companies like Amazon quarterly get that update. And I went through and checked in the spreadsheet the addresses that are in there. They're correctly coded right now to be paid to unincorporated Davis County. So it's very easy for that to be updated. It's the little unsophisticated or small businesses, the mom and pops, you know, like the Tupperware lady that goes and sells Tupperware there, but she figures the tax on her little paper copy based on a paper tax table, right? That's just by zip code, not the zip plus four. Because at first I thought maybe there was just one zip plus four. Apparently the plus four is there's many, many of them in that area. And it tells the carrier who's delivering, like the zip plus four might mean 3600 South. And a different plus four might mean 3800 South. So they're all totally different in that respect. So there are a lot of different ones. There's not just one. It's not that easy. But just by submitting the annexation to the State Tax Commission, they'll update their spreadsheet, and that we'll get the sales tax collected. What we miss will be insignificant.
Is it going to be city staff recommendation? There's a sliver of unincorporated area that isn't in our annexation plan or Bountiful's. That's the water doctor, or what used to be the water doctor building.
Or that Yulee store?
Yeah, is it going to be the intent of adding that to some our annexation area?
I think that is what the county would like us to do. So I'd like to have a conversation with Bountiful just to make sure, because that particular, those two little parcels are closer to, they have more adjacent property to Bountiful than to us, unlike the annexation area B, which is covered on all three sides, three out of four sides.
And it's just two parcels.
Yes, two little tiny parcels right there on Highway 89. I don't know. I don't know why it was never in there, but I couldn't include it in this because it wasn't already in our annexation. Because that was one of the first things that I got a comment back from the county was like, why aren't you including these two parcels that are up here? And I'm like, because they're not in our annexation plan. They never have been. They're further north. Further north. More. No, one more. So where those... Okay, do you see where those that are look the Parkview townhomes? See the townhomes right there on Highway 89, the white buildings? Right, the parcel's right to the north of that, across that little street.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, right. that building right there is in two parcels. So that building is in two parcels. And that's it. So...
The north side, I walked past that the other day. It looked like it's becoming some kind of a surplus business. I don't know if that was just transient type of thing, but I was curious about that.
Yeah, and so everything north of this and to the east of it is in Bountiful. So it kind of makes sense that this might make more sense for this parcel to be in Bountiful, but I'd like to have that conversation with them and make sure that everybody's okay with us annexing it if we want to, and maybe talk to the property owners. And
nobody's going to be okay with that.
If I can talk to the property owners, I can get them to just file a petition and not bring them in without that. So, sure, go to Woods Cross. And then the other thing we wanted to update you on is just a reminder of the holiday dinner on December 6th. It'll be at the golf course. I'm looking forward to seeing you all there. And Mackenzie and her husband will be there as well. So it did not go unnoticed last year when you all asked me, where's Mackenzie? Where's Mackenzie? And I went to Ken and said, you know, the Planning Commission really wants Mackenzie to be at that party. She really is their staff, and I think that she should be at that party. And so he okayed that we invited her to the party, so I'm super excited for that. With that, I will, that's all I have for you this evening.
All right, thank you. Any questions for Sherry or anything? We can move to approval of the minutes from October 25th. Any amendments to the minutes? Thank you, Andrea, for always your excellent work on the minutes. We appreciate you. And we can do a motion on the minutes if anybody's ready.
Commissioner Jorgensen, I make a motion to approve the meeting minutes for the October 25th, 2022 Planning Commission meeting as drafted.
Thank you. And a second?
Second, Commissioner Moss.
Thank you, Commissioner Moss. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. All right. And we are adjourned.